other weeks in the recent past, we have looked at the subject of with what body do they come? They being those that know Jesus Christ as Savior and have gone on. They have passed into His presence, into His joy, into His paradise. But we have a right to ask the question, with what body will they come? You see, I found that passage over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the chapter that we call the resurrection chapter, in verse 43, these words, or verse 35, it says, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? And that is my theme, and I hope to finish that today. We have looked at this first question, why do the dead need to be raised if they are already present with the Lord? Now that seems like a pretty reasonable question, isn't it? Why do the dead need to be raised if they're already present with the Lord? And the answer is, their presence with the Lord is soul and spirit. And that's what Paul was talking about when he said, absent from the body, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, present with the Lord. And I want you to hang on to that and have that ingrained in your mind at all times. To be absent from the body for a Christian is to be present with the Lord. Last week, we looked at the question of what is the difference between resurrection and rapture? And we talked about those scriptures that deal with the rapture of the church and the resurrection of the body. Today I want to talk about a third one, and that is, are the Old Testament saints already in heaven? Now this is an important question to ask and an important question to answer. And we want to look at that today. Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31. Now when we get there, you'll recognize this is the passage that talks about the rich man and Lazarus. I am not convinced that this Lazarus is the Lazarus of John chapter 11. In fact, I know it is not. There are so many different between them. We know that this is a different Lazarus, and it shouldn't bother you that there are names that are repeated in the Bible. For instance, there's a half a dozen Johns, and there are eight Marys, and three Judes, and two Jameses among the disciples, and so on. So this morning we want to look at this. Are the Old Testament saints already in heaven? Verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Before I go any further, I need to make one statement. This is not a parable. Now, there are lots of parables in the book of Luke. There are a lot more parables in the book of Matthew. There are some parables over in the book of Mark. This is not a parable. This is in reference to someone that the disciples may have known personally. If they didn't know the rich man, they probably knew the Lazarus, because Jesus used the name of the beggar. And it says this, that the rich man was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He was not only rich, but he had some power and prestige because of the purple and fine linen. But there was also a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Apparently, he had to compete with the dogs that came through the neighborhood for that garbage which was thrown out after the meals which the rich man ate. And so he sat by the rich man's house, so that he could pick through the rich man's garbage and have something to eat. The wild dogs or the dogs come and they are there with him competing for the garbage, competing for the leftovers that are pitched out into the trash, and they also lick his sores. The fact that he has sores tells you of something of his needs. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those there pass to us. Then he said, this is the rich man, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Interpreted, they have the whole Old Testament at their disposal. Let them hear them. That is, let them hear the words of the Old Testament. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he, Abraham, said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, if they do not believe the scriptures that are written, in other words, neither will they be persuaded though one raised from the dead. And that would be later proved when the other Lazarus is raised from the dead. Did the Pharisees and the scribes in John chapter 11 follow Jesus? No. Even though they saw a man that they knew raised from the dead. I want to share just a few thoughts from this passage this morning because I think it's very key to the question, are the Old Testament saints already in heaven? We need to be reminded, and I have shared this, I believe, within the past year, that Hades means the place of the departed dead. You might even translate it the grave. But Hades is the place of the departed dead. The grave kind of deals with bodies, whereas Hades deals with the departed soul and spirit of dead folk. You will notice that the rich man, not because of his riches, but because of his improper belief system, ends up in the hot side of Hades. Hades apparently has two parts. The place of the departed dead has a part that is called torments. And it talks about flame and heat and memory and all of those things. And I'm not preaching on hell today, so I'm not going to go into those details. On the other hand, the departed dead who are in God's family end up in a place that here is referred to as Abraham's bosom. Now, we're going to learn that it is also called paradise. And all of you have heard the term paradise, so you have an idea where I'm going with this. So here is the beggar, and he's in paradise. Now, I want you to notice that the rich man still treats him as a servant and a slave, doesn't he? He says to Abraham, he says, send him to dip water, put water on his finger and put it on my tongue. He still sees that man as a slave. He still has this proud, cocky, high-class attitude, even in Hades, the hot side, the torments. Later on, he says, send him. to go to my brothers and to tell them, don't come to this place. Now, we can preach a whole message on this, but I need to move on very quickly. And I want you to turn with me this morning to chapter 23 that we read in our responsive scripture reading. Chapter 23, and starting at verse 39, you will remember what we just read in our scripture reading. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Messiah, save yourself and us. But the other, that is the other criminal, answered and rebuked him and said, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? Now, what is the condemnation? All three of them are hanging on a cross, dying. All three of them are a spectacle for the people that pass by. All three of them are soon going to be dead. And the one criminal says to the other criminal, don't you understand what's going on here? Don't you fear God? Aren't you afraid of dying and where you're going to go afterward, in other words? And verse 41, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. That is confession. That's repentance. Are you thinking about it? He says, we deserve to die. And my friend, it's important that you and I understand how to say that. We deserve to die. We do not deserve paradise. We do not deserve heaven. We do not deserve the love of God. We do not deserve the forgiveness of God. But praise God for His grace. He gives it to us. And you and I can take it into our heart and into our life. And most of you have. And if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've never invited Him to come into your heart and into your soul, and you've never invited Him to take over your life and to make you His child and take you to heaven when you die, then please, today, do it. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off till tomorrow or next week. You have no promise. You have no promise you're going to get out of here alive. Just keep that in mind. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, today's the day. But I want you to see this. And being in agony, excuse me, wrong page. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, I don't know what he understood about the kingdom of God. I don't know how much knowledge he had, but he must have had some comprehension of who Jesus was, and you need that if you're going to get saved. And he had some comprehension of where Jesus was going and where he came from, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, he said, please remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, I don't know what he was asking Jesus to do in that particular case. But apparently he was asking for something from Jesus that was above and beyond anything that he had ever experienced here on earth. Notice what Jesus says. This is the key verse that we want to deal with this morning. Jesus said, surely I say to you, today. So important that you understand, absent from the body, what? Finish it with me. Present with the Lord. Thank you. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Notice what Jesus is going to say. Assuredly, today. Not next week, not next year, not sometime in the future. Not after you go through a purgatory or you go through a limbo, but today. Today you will be with me in paradise. Now, I want you to think about the word paradise. I believe that it is one and the same with the phrase we have coined, which is really, we've just taken it out of the text, and we've said that Abraham's bosom is the good side of Hades, or paradise. So keep that word paradise and Abraham's bosom in your mind as being synonymous with each other. They're the same thing. If you go to Hebrews in chapter 11 and you're reading there in the Hall of Faith about Abraham, he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Where in the world did Abraham get that notion? He looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He believed the promises that God gave him. Go back and read Genesis 12 to 25 and get the idea of all the promises God gave to Abraham and then to Isaac and then to Jacob and then Jacob to his 12 sons. The promises. He looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And now here's Abraham. He's in paradise. Let's move on to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to come back to Ephesians in just a minute. I'm not sure that it makes a big difference. Well, no, we better do Ephesians first. Because I think that's the connector. That connects the Gospels with what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. So let's go to Ephesians. You see the passage there on the screen? Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, and he quotes from Psalm 68:18. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now you say, what is that talking about? Well, look at verse 9. 9 and 10 explain it, I think. Verse 9. Now this, he ascended, quote unquote. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Where did Jesus go when he died? Where was he those 3 days when his body was in the tomb outside of Jerusalem's wall? Where was Jesus? You said he went to heaven. No, he didn't. He went to the same place that the beggar went. He went to Abraham's bosom. He went to paradise. He went down to the good side of Hades. Remember I said Hades had two compartments, two parts. Both are said to be down at that time. And I use that terminology, that time. It's not the case now. And we're going to see why. Look at verse 7 or verse 8 again. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Here's what I understand. And I think I can prove it to you when we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's what I understand. When Jesus rose from the dead, he took with him Abraham and everyone else that was with Abraham in the paradise side of Hades, and he took them up to heaven. You say, how do you know that? Well, we're going to look now, if you will, please. Oh, look at verse 10. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Now, over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body or not, or I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up. What word did I just say? Up. That way. Up. Caught up into paradise. Now, wait a minute. Paradise was in the center of the earth, in Hades, and called Abraham's bosom. But now he says paradise is up. But what did we just read in Ephesians chapter 4? When he ascended, he took with him everyone that was in the good side of Hades, Abraham's bosom, paradise. He took them up. He ascended. He took them with him, it says. Now, Paul, this is later on, Paul says, I was caught up into paradise. By the way, if you haven't figured out this is Paul talking about himself, then you need to go over to the book of Acts. And over in Acts chapter 16, verse 9, we learn that he was stoned to death. And he was left for dead outside the city of Lystra. And then it says that he got up and he walked back into the city, much to the shock of everyone, I'm sure. That's the only time we know that Paul died, or at least was left for dead, though he went through all kinds of trials and tribulations, both physical, mental, and so forth. This is the only one where we can say that's probably when it happened. Time element fits and everything. So Paul is saying, I don't know if I was dead or not, but I got to go to heaven, to paradise, he says, and heard inexpressible words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. In other words, that's Paul's way of saying, I saw and heard stuff I can't tell you about. It's above and beyond my permission to explain to you what I saw, what I heard. He says this, for such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast. In other words, he said, I can boast about somebody else that had the same experience, but in that I had the experience, I'm not allowed to boast about it. He said, for though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I forbear, in other words, I hold back, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears me. Paul said, I have so much I'd love to say and brag about, but he said, I don't dare. Then he says, verse 7, God gives him a little reminder to keep his mouth shut. And lest I should be exalted above measure, if you haven't figured out Paul that it's Paul, by now you're not reading, right? He said, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Now, what I want you to see in this passage this morning is verse 4, I was caught up into paradise. Now, where was paradise in Luke chapter 16? It was down. Where did Jesus go when he died on the cross? Today you will be with me in paradise. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 to 10, paradise gets lifted up with Jesus when he raises from the dead and is taken into heaven. So where is paradise today? It's up. It's in the presence of God. It's in heaven. Now, here is the question. Are the Old Testament saints already in heaven? And the answer is yes. Yes, based on these three passages, four passages, if you please, paradise is now in heaven. Therefore, the Old Testament saints are in heaven with God. I hope that I make that plain. Now, I do have a question that I haven't answered. and it's not on the screen, but I'll let you mull it over. And that is this. Have the Old Testament saints been resurrected yet and got their new glorified bodies? And if you say no, then when will they? And here's the real question. Do they get resurrected with the church, or do they have to wait until the tribulation saints are resurrected at the coming of the Lord at the end of the tribulation? And to help you mull that one over, think about this. If you go to the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 26 to 29, you will find out that the tribulation is called the 70th week of Daniel. And you go back through that passage and you find out then that the other 69 weeks of Daniel's prophecy deal with Old Testament saints. And then there is the parentheses between week 69, and week 69 ends at the death of Christ. You can read it there in Daniel chapter 9. And the 70th week, there's a space. And we call that the age of grace, the church age that you and I are living in. Now, the church is going to be raptured, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. But does that include Old Testament saints, or is that just the bride of Christ? And do the Old Testament saints, which are the 69-week people, connect with the 70th week, which is the tribulation period? Does it not make sense that the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints are part of the same gang? And we who are the church saints from the resurrection of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost until the rapture of the church are entirely a separate, different body. Revelation. Study that. So I don't have the answer. I have my own theory. I'm not telling you what to believe about it. We're not going to start a new denomination out of this thing. But my personal feeling is, the Old Testament saints probably are not going to get resurrected until the end of the tribulation period to join the rows that are the 70th week of Daniel saints. I don't know. But anyway, I do want you to look at several things very quickly with me this morning as I close. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we looked at a couple of weeks ago, I want you to notice a word. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9 and 11. Therefore, when you see the therefore, you are to examine what it is therefore. Verse 11, knowing therefore. Now, the word therefore means in conclusion of, or here is the summary. Or here is the answer to the puzzle. Now, we know what it said before. It says that that we are in this tent, but this tent is going to be swallowed up with a new house. So, verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are in this body, we are not with the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. That's what we'd like to do. And that's what we know will happen someday. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing. So the therefore is, in lieu of the fact that we are still in this old body here on earth, we are to be well-pleasing to the Lord. So I ask the question, are you pleasing the Lord in your daily life? And then verse 9, therefore, we are well pleasing to him. Verse 11, therefore we know the terror of the Lord. What is that? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be examined as to what we did. And I said it before, I will say it again. This is not determining whether you're going to be saved. That was taken care of on the cross. Amen? This is determining what crowns you're going to get, what rewards you're going to get, what medal are you going to get, a gold, a silver, or a bronze, or no medal at all because you just didn't make it as a Christian the way you should have lived. Now, another passage that we've already read in our study but has the word therefore is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's at the end of the whole chapter on resurrection. The whole chapter is on resurrection from verse 1 to verse 57. Verse 57 says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Three great concepts. Steadfast. Sticking with it, folks. Don't waver. Don't fall back. Don't get diverted side to side. Stay on the path. Stay steady. Stay unmovable. That has to do with don't be changing your positions. If you believed and trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, stick with it. And live it out, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let me give you one more. In our study, we also came across this, therefore. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. The one about the rapture. When it gets all done, it says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. As you understand that the Lord is going to come back and take you home to heaven someday, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as it says over in 1 Corinthians. So, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Do you not get comfort from the fact that one of these days, the Lord is going to call you home to heaven? Boom, like that. And you're going to be changed on the way up? Awesome. Therefore, comfort one another, encourage one another. That's why over in Titus it's called the blessed hope and the glorious appearing. And then Ephesians 4:11, which we did not read when we looked at Ephesians 4. I quit at verse 10, but now I can read verse 11. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers. Why? Why did he do that? Because he wants to get more and more and more people into the family and into paradise. Isn't that a wonderful concept? And chapter 9 of verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 12, therefore, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will gladly boast in my infirmities. What a crazy guy. How many of you boast in your infirmities? Well, Brother Charles used to say some people enjoy ill health. I'm not quite sure that's what Paul had in mind here, though. But I think Paul is saying, knowing what I saw and what I heard, and I'm not allowed to talk about it, and knowing that I'm going to go there and you are too with me, I will rejoice in my pain and suffering that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Let us bow our hearts in prayer this morning. If there's anyone here among us who has never yet trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, Would you do that right now? Would you cry out and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a Christian, a sinner who needs to become a Christian, and make me your child and save me for your glory and grace. Father God, you know the heart, you know the life, you know the pain, you know the suffering, you know the need of every person in this room. God, minister to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.